Welcome back to episode 8 of the Verde Podcast. Every week, we talk to local business leaders and entrepreneurs to understand the real story that doesn't make it to the spotlight, but is how actual businesses are actually built here in Chicago. Today, we have Matt Botis, who's founder and CEO of Connect Food. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Jamie. It's great to be here and talk about my passion.
Good, good. Well, let's just kick into it, and then at some point, I'm sure we'll reveal that we've known each other for longer than we want to admit. Yeah, 20-ish probably years. So tell me a little bit about Connect Food, how you started the business, why, what drove you to take the leap into to getting it off the ground.
Sure. I'm the former director of the State of Illinois' Food Safety and Technology Center. So I saw a massive need to help food companies with their fundamental food safety plans. Question is, how do you do that? How do we do that online? I would say that, you know, when I started the industry in 95, we weren't ready. You know, the food industry's kind of lags behind in the way they adopt technology. And what we decided to do at Connect Food is that we would have an online portal to, you know, kind of reduce a regulatory pain point. In 2011, Congress established the Food Safety Modernization Act, which essentially said that every food company needed to retake their food safety driver's tests. So there's large companies that were ready, they have all those resources and things of that nature, and then there's the small and medium-sized food companies. It's estimated that there's 125,000, give or take, food companies registered with the Food and Drug Administration.
Is that in the U.S. or?
It's in the United States, okay. Correct. And then from those companies, 80% of them probably have less than 100 employees. So what kind of resources do they have? So we wanted to have the best technology in the world in order to help them with their food safety plans. So instead of having to go to a consultant or go to a university extension service, we wanted an online portal where they could go in, tell their story about what product they make, whether it's a salsa or, you know, kind of a bakery product, and then give them the tools that are online if they can follow through that. It's not unlike a TurboTax for food manufacturers, but we wanted them to be able to go online, tell their story, and then one of two things. If they're comfortable with the plan that is produced by the technology, then they can use that as they would. So if you're going to sell to a large grocery store chain, they want to know, do you make your product safely? You have state and federal regulators that come into your facility to inspect, and you have to be able to tell your story. The old saying in the food industry is that if you haven't documented it, you really haven't done it. So that's what they're looking for, and so we provide that at Connect Food and just the whole range. Just imagine walking into your favorite grocery store and looking at all those products from the refrigerated section all the way through canned goods, to things in jars, to things in boxes. Each one of those products has to have a food safety plan.
Hmm. And is your customer the manufacturer of the foods typically?
No, that's a great question. So what we're finding is that so when we first set out, we wanted to be kind of a knowledge collection portal. Hey, let's talk about how we're making this. Hey, I need help doing this. We found out that really wasn't a sustainable business model. So what we did was is we started targeting people that actually make food products. So there's different kinds. There's the person that owns their own cookie company, and then there's a person that goes to what's kind of a contract manufacturer or a co-packer, and that co-packer could make 100 different products for a brand owner. But what we're finding now is that so many entrepreneurs, you know, in the local foods movement that actually own restaurants really want to figure out how they can put their product on a store shelf. And so they're looking for resources. And, you know, our goal eventually, and I think we're well on our way, is to be, you know, the number one company in the world that provides, you know, food safety technology for companies. And, you know, along with that, too, we have a whole stable of food safety experts that we work with. So somebody comes in with a complex question, you know, we can go to a PhD in food science or a PhD in food packaging, and they can help on that larger project. So it's not only a subscriber model, it's also a model where we're bringing on more complex products.
What were you doing professionally when you decided to take the leap into starting Connect Food?
It's been up and down. I started out designing food and pharmaceutical processing systems, mm-hmm. and then selling aseptic packaging. Then I came to work at a not-for-profit, which was the Food Safety Center here in the state of Illinois. So you kind of got a big picture there. Had a little change, went and did a startup that didn't work out exactly the way I wanted it to, so that was a good lesson learned, mm-hmm. and then went back into a consulting just on my own, and I said, hey, you know, I can help you with your food safety plans, or I can help you with an engineering design, and then when I sat down with some other people, and we talked about, wow, we can really do this online, and, you know, my programming team is the best in the world. So the technology that they put out there is amazing.
Cool. What year was it that you started it?
2011.
Okay. So you've been doing this for a couple of years?
We've been doing it for a couple of years. It's interesting talking. You know, we start growing so much in Chicago, and, you know, obviously we reconnected at 1871, and then mm-hmm. there's Matter, and then there's these spaces where all these good ideas are coming together. It just really seemed like the thing to do. And I think that I was a little frustrated that everything didn't take off faster. But as you talk to more entrepreneurs and you talk to more people, you realize that it's, you know, you just don't get out there and write code and then, you know, become a millionaire. So it's...
Yeah. Everyone has the vision of, like, the Facebook story where it just, like, started and just kept accelerating, you know, day after day, month after month. Yeah, it's... Everyone hears from when it took off, not the 9 years that it took leading up to the idea of grinding it out. And that's the real way businesses are built. People forget that.
Well, and, you know, when you're an individual contractor and you're working with food companies on a day-to-day level, I love being in a food manufacturing facility. Sometimes sitting behind a computer can be difficult. But the team that we've built at Connect Food is amazing, and it spans all across, you know, different skill sets. So, you know, you've got organizers, you've got coders, you've got people that focus on sales. So, I mean, it really does take a team, and I couldn't – Connect Food would be nothing if we didn't have all those people behind us. And that's another thing you learn, and it takes, you know, 6, 7, 8 years to build all that there. So.
Yeah, for sure. So you kind of already started talking about, but what are your favorite parts about running the company? Like what for me personally, I tend to enjoy more customer interactions and being out in the field than I do like operational minded. It sounds like you got some similarity, but you also have a lot of pride in your team. So what do you wake up each day looking forward to doing?
I actually truly love food safety. So I like looking at where companies don't get it. It'd almost be like if you were a language teacher, right? So there's that communication gap a lot of times between their auditor or their regulator or their customer that they're having trouble telling their food safety story. And Connect Food provides that solution. So the most enjoyable part for me is taking something that you don't meet a lot of people out, you know, at lunch or at a coffee shop that says, yeah, I'm a food safety expert. So the educational part of it is good too. They have a tremendous opportunity over the last 2 years to work with the FSPCA, which is the implementer for the Food Safety Modernization Act, and teach over 35 classes across the country for creating either lead instructors or these PCQIs, qualified individuals that have food safety knowledge, and they take it back to their facility. I think the educational part of it too is something I always really look forward to. So whether that's, you know, having a phone call with somebody or seeing somebody that calls or writes an email and says, thank you, you know, your software is so easy to use and it's really good, or I personally, such as yourself, I like being out there in the field.
Yeah. I'm just curious, what about food that's made outside the U.S.? Does the U.S. regulate that in the same way?
Sure. So it's very difficult at times. And remember, there's many, 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 many agencies that regulate food, you know, from not only FDA and USDA, which we're, you know, most familiar with, but CDC, mm-hmm. You know, EPA, NOAA. It goes on and on. There's, I think, you know, between 10 and 15 agencies that have their hands in food somehow, right? So it's it's always a challenge to, once again, help with that translation more than anything else. And so from a foreign perspective, you know, we've had issues with products that come from other countries. Who's the regulatory authority that they're supposed to work with? How do we know that it's coming in? There's so huge volumes of food coming in. FDA, just part of the Food Safety Modernization Act, is the foreign supplier verification piece of that. So they are pushing out there. So we're kind of going up and down the food chain in a way that we, you know, we really have never done before. So we're saying, prove to us and tell your story, which is another the reason we created Connect Food, about how you make that product. So if it's coming in from another country, we want to see that documentation. We want to see that you understand what we're asking here domestically, and we want you to provide that same information. Of course, language is an issue, you know, all kinds of different things, but it's only getting better and better.
So your product really is an international product.
We...
In the future has the ability.
Yes, I'd like to say yes, but I would be So we've talked to a couple different groups about translation of the software. So we'd really like to do that. You know, like I said, I'm really proud of what we've done, especially the last 2 years, and gotten it the technology. And I can only say that the team is the one that did it to the point where we can provide solutions on. Currently in English for anybody that can log on and can handle the software.
What's kind of switching topics a bit? What's in since 2011? What has been the most challenging time in running Connect Food, and what do you, you know? I guess was there a particular event that led to it, and then kind of how did you get through it?
Well, I think money's always an issue. I mean, that's right. That's the number one thing is how do you get funded? Friends and family have been fantastic. You know, everybody's chipped in at different times. I think there was a point in time, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, where everybody on the team was frustrated. Right. So whether it was money or someone saying, hey, Matt, you're not doing your job as CEO. And I said, well, of course I am. And, you know, upon reflection, these people were right. So at the end of the day, I think that, you know, we kind of hit a low spot between cash. It was never the technology was never an issue, and the food safety knowledge was never the issue. But how are we going to come together as a team and really implement this? So between money and synergies and efficiencies, that was really the hardest time, because there's sometimes you go, all right, so we created this, and then what's it worth now? Why don't I just sell it?
Yeah.
So we got past that hurdle.
Yeah.
So, and I think, you know, finding money is tough in Chicago. Yeah. I've really found that. Everybody talks about the coasts. I mean, this is the breadbasket of, you know, the entire United States. You would think money would be easier to find. But also, I can, once again, put the blame on myself. Maybe I haven't tried hard enough to get that money because, you know, everybody in the company is an owner, right? So at some different level, right? So how do we, you know, do we take other people's money and dilute, or we're so close right now? You know, if we had, you know, 1,000 people in the system right now. Well, actually, we do have 1,000 people in the system. We don't necessarily have 1,000 paying people, but you know, but you're trying out new things too. You just want people to adopt, and so I think cash flow is always a challenge.
Yeah, I've been there for sure. Cash flow. I remember that. I had like a D-Day, I can't remember what year it was, 2013 maybe, 2014, when the utility program ran out of money abruptly. It was January 5th. I just spent like $20,000 on inventory, and, you know, it was literally like 2 days later that they had inventory arrived, got all on the shelves, ready to go, and then the utility program ran out of money, and it was like 4 months we had to ride it out, you know, and those are the times when my wife has been more patient than I deserved. So,
well, I think the ability to, you know, the sleepless nights and to get through them, and once again have people around you that are supportive is the most important part.
Yeah, and I don't know if you feel this way too, but I find that sometimes those hard lessons I've taken over the years, I hold on to them a little too much. So I I get a little bit too risk averse at times now, and that's not my nature because I'm holding on, waiting for that next shoe to fall off. So I don't know.
There was a quote, and there's many different versions of it, but I'll never. It was off a TV show. I don't know, 15 years ago. It says, "I am what the world considers successful, but I've failed so many more times than I've ever succeeded."
Yeah, right.
And not my line, but yeah. You have to just keep going. Yeah. I mean, there's no other option.
Right.
Right.
Right. Well, and I think a lot of times people do, for whatever point they're in life, they have to move on and give up their dream and move on to a real job. And I've been at that point so many times that I've got a lot of respect for people that make that choice and a lot of empathy. You know, sometimes we're fortunate to keep pushing through and sometimes we're not. So, but definitely sticking with it is part of what builds success. Not, you know, it takes time and it takes a lot of grit.
You know, when you're an employee-owned company, I think that, you know, everybody gets frustrated at different times. But at the end of the day, when we're that quote-unquote big success, we're a success now. But when that financial goal is hit, whatever we decide that is, it's going to be worth every minute, you know?
Yeah, you were saying 3 or 4 years ago was when that you were at that low point. And it's funny, I remember it must have been like 3 years ago that I was at some kind of State of Illinois thing, and I grabbed a picture. They were talking about Connect Food. Someone from the state was talking about it, and I texted it to you, and you said, "Really? I didn't know that was going on." Like, so sometimes there's momentum happening even outside of your purview.
Absolutely, and I have to, you know, people say, "Well, why don't you take your business to another state, or why don't you?" You know, there's challenges in every state, but, you know, we're from Illinois.
Yeah.
We grew up here. You know, I want the Illinois company success story to be told again and again and again. And that happens under different governors, under different mayors, under, you know, different elected officials, different, you know, agencies we've worked with. But, you know, food safety is one of those things that it's hard to throw stones at.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants safe food, right?
Yeah, right.
So it's good to have partners that believe in you.
Well, Chicago's got, I mean, it's obviously a huge, I mean, we were built on cattle, right? Coming into the city, you know, 100 years ago. And
absolutely. We have, once again, these are estimates and these numbers fluctuate, but it's estimated that we have about 4,000 manufacturing facilities or food companies in the state of Illinois. We have 73,000 farms. Cook County alone, I think, has 600 to 800 food manufacturing establishments.
Awesome.
I mean, everybody, you know, you just know what's in Chicago. I mean, sometimes you can just smell the chocolate. Right?
Yeah, right.
So,
right. Yeah, I used to live right by that Blommer Chocolate Factory, and I think that's why my wife married me.
So, right.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic city. It's a fantastic state. It's a great state. We have so many resources. We have the Institute for Food Safety and Health here, which is the awesome partnership between universities, regulatory authorities, FDA specifically, and, you know, companies that we have here. We've got, you know, massive food companies here, and you go, you know, down the street to do the hatchery or some other local foods event, and you've just got people just, "Hey, I've got a great idea and a great recipe."
Yeah.
And the good thing is, they all need a food safety plan.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Chicago gets a bad rap for sure. And I get frustrated by that. So I'm with you. People often ask me if you want to, you know, like, my business has, you know, changed over the years, but we could theoretically move outside of Illinois and expand. And I just think I do a lot of visits to manufacturing facilities, and there's every part of Chicago's got more than you would imagine. You know, it's unbelievable how much depth Chicago has. So I'd rather just personally grow my business going deeper in Chicago, which is a great, you know, Illinois is a great state. So it's got its problems for sure. So,
well, but, you know, as long as I think is, you know, business owners like ourselves commit to staying here.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what we need.
That's how it was built. You know, the early the dredges at the canals were built by the early civic society. And Chicago needs the next group of leaders to stick around and do it. So, and we've got it, you know, for sure. So there are more important people than us doing it. So hopefully we'll just kind of be the second layer of...
Yeah, we'll just, you know, this is, you know, maybe we'll be important someday.
Yeah, right. We'll see. We'll listen to this in 10 years and then say, oh, right. Well, maybe not. Oh, yeah, one of us was. Matt was. Jamie wasn't, but that's okay. So, and the last question I always ask people is, and this is just because it's kind of my personal passion what I get to do, I guess, with my time is to interview people about my passion. But tell me about your experience in making sustainability a priority and how you've grown Connect Food.
Sure. I think, sustainability is always, but at one point I think I had a tagline on a business that said safety, security, sustainability. And that was, the big keyword. But I think it's more about efficiencies. And I was telling you the story when, writing something down the other day, and the thing at the top of the list is do not procrastinate. And I think it's about efficiencies. I think it's, understanding the strengths of your team. One thing that we've done poorly, and we've gotten better at it, was what are we spending our time doing? So do we really need to run forward and get this done, or is there some way we can be more efficient or more sustainable inside by not, hurry up and wait kind of thing? So I think that between our team at Connect Food, that that's been highlighted. So if you don't talk about it, you can't fix it, mm-hmm. right? So we definitely talk about that, sometimes more aggressively than other times. But I think just realizing where your weaknesses are and being comfortable with your strengths makes you a more sustainable company.
Yeah.
And I really feel that we're not perfect by any means, but we're doing a much better job.
Well, obviously, sustainability and food safety have the food movement has changed so much, and with local comes different concerns, I guess.
Sustainability in food manufacturing. What we really try and do is give people tools so they can be as efficient as possible. So I don't care if you're baking or making a salsa or whatever you're doing. We want you to be able to tell your story in the least amount of time with the best information. Sometimes you don't even know what you're doing well. And so when you talk about sustainability in food manufacturing, that's efficiencies, but it's also, what are my inputs, from an energy standpoint, right? I mean, there's so many of these facilities. I've been to, hundreds and hundreds of food facilities, right? And some of them are just old buildings that somebody retrofitted. And, energy consumption's horrible. They don't care because they're making money. And then you've got other people, with a Leeds building, but they're not sustainable in their manufacturing because they bought the wrong equipment. So the food industry continues to, food technology is such a cool business, and it surrounds us from, what you pull off the shelf to drink, to what you put in your stomach, to how it got there.
Oh yeah,
it's amazing. And I think the food industry, many companies do it very well. There's also a large portion of those companies that could be more efficient, whether it's the materials they bring in, what they're bringing in, the energy usage that they have, where they're getting their products from. So
this is a little off topic, but I'll ask it because we got a little more time. But I remember studying in grad school, and the conversation was the carbon impact of how food arrives at different places, train and boat was far more efficient and far. I think it was like 20 or 10% of the carbon impact as flying. Does most of our food come by rail in Chicago, or does it come? Is it flown in? Or I mean, I'm sure seafood is flown in. And
sure. So hair is obviously a major entryway. From a percentage standpoint, I couldn't quite tell you. I would say trucking.
Yeah.
The one that I recognize the most. But we were talking about this the other day about is there one food organization to go to, for all this information? And if you look at shipping everything from soy and corn, which, we're always one or two with Iowa and in production there, that is a big rail business, right? And then, so it depends on the commodity. It depends on the price point. So, yeah. Packaging material a lot of times is trucked in. But resins for people that manufacture packaging or a rail system. Mm. From a from a commercial, I mean, geez, all of our seafood comes from some kind of commercial, you know, shipping vessel at some point, right?
And right.
It travels some other way. It's the scope is so big. Like, to try to write out that equation.
Yeah.
You know, what are we focused on here? Are we focused on tomatoes? Are we focused on, you know, animal feed? Are we focused on, you know, produce? Like, it's kind of all over the board. But I think in all aspects, we could, everybody can always do a better job, right?
Well, it's one nice side benefit of the local food movement is that you get fresher foods and it's, the environmental impact of bringing it to you is lower. But
and you know, we're excited to be able to be a part of that food chain where I don't have to necessarily get on an airplane and fly to a local foods person in Boston or New York. Now they can get online and interact. So, you know, from a sustainability perspective, you know, I don't want to take any. Yeah, I do want to take all the food safety consulting business away from me. But the, you know, you can see. So there's, you know, there's little impacts all over the place.
Yeah, well, cool, Matt. Well, it's been great connecting and talking. It's been too long. So.
Yeah. No, it's always good to see you, my friend. So I was doing the math in my head. It's been 25 years.
It was 96. Yeah. 1996, I think. Yeah. So, yes.
22, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for having me.
All right. Great. Thanks again, Matt. Take care.